This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, joined us a little bit earlier. Here is Nick Caserio on rookie running back Damian Pierce.
There's a few players, I would say Pierce is probably a good example where, not to transition to him, but, you know, had 100 carries, you know, 500 yards, 13 touchdowns. So his touches were a little bit limited. But then you do a little bit deeper dive and maybe study some. We kind of had a model that we developed specific to the running backs. There was like five or six different metrics. And he scored favorably on a lot of those relative to some other players. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the guy's going to be great players going to the Hall of Fame. It just might give you kind of a little bit more information that you realize was there. It was maybe there in plain sight, but maybe once you do a little bit deeper dive, you see a little bit more. So I think you just have to be, I would say, flexible in your thought process and be open-minded to using information sources that are available that you think are helpful and as a supplementary tool that can help your overall process.
For what it's worth, Damian Pierce, of the running backs coming into the league in this draft, look, everybody loved Breece Hall. The combine stats with Breece Hall. Pierce was the, according to Pro Football Focus, he was the top scored running back coming into the league out of this rookie class. He had like a 92 grade on Pro Football Focus. Granted, as Nick points out, Seth, it was on a sample size that's probably smaller than some of the guys that went ahead of him, you know, smaller than Breece Hall, certainly smaller than Kenneth Walker from Michigan State, who got a ton of wear on the tread at Michigan State this past year. But I found it interesting that he talked about the model they put together where Pierce graded out so well. And I'm looking, I wonder if we can now use Pro Football Focus as any sort of, like if there's any, I know it's only one prospect. I wonder if there's any sort of correlation there.
I think with Pro Football Focus, some of the stuff they've done with prospect evaluation, it's really interesting. And they do, like, that's where Pro Football Focus is tough, because the most popular thing they do, or at least the thing that gets the most headlines, are their grades, where NFL teams probably value that the least, like the overall grades, but they use a lot of information from Pro Football Focus. A lot of teams subscribe to, like, the professional version of Pro Football Focus. And I think some of the prospect evaluation, they do a good job of kind of looking at different factors from all the previous years and figuring out, okay, it's rare for a guy who looks like this or runs like this to actually make it in the NFL. And likewise, hey, when a guy has this mix of factors, they almost always make it in the NFL. I'm guessing that was something similar with Damian Pierce, whatever the Texans are using, it's similar to that. So I think that with Pierce, he has some of those things that maybe would grade him down, where a lot of the more forward-thinking people might think, okay, that might grade him down, but we don't actually care about that. Like breakaway speed for a running back. I think that's probably overrated in a lot of respects, because you're a genuinely rare running back. It's awesome if you have it, and you're that rare running back that is good for the home runs hitting. But if you're talking about taking a guy in the third or fourth or fifth round, who really cares? But guys might get graded down because, like, Damian Pierce doesn't have great breakaway speed. Okay, who cares? I just want him to run 10 or 15 yards more
consistently. Yeah, yeah.
And then size as well. You know, a Maurice Jones-Drew type of guy might get graded down for his size, when in reality, with those dimensions, especially like with Damian Pierce, where he's kind of like a bowling ball, I think his size can be an asset because he's got so much mass packed into that incredibly, you know, the lower body strength type of frame, low center of gravity, kind of an ability to hide behind blockers. That really is a strength in a lot of ways. So, yeah, I bet they hopefully stumbled onto something with Dameon Pierce.
Yeah, and I think, look, if, for those that are enthusiastic about Dameon Pierce ending up being the guy, or at least the lead guy in a committee here this year, you're going to look at a lot of highlights where he's doing stuff with the ball in his hands. You know, he's trucking guys, he's running without his helmet on, all those things that we've seen on YouTube. He's going to have to pass protect if he's going to get on the field and stay on the field as a rookie running back. He's going to have to pick up his assignments, blitz pickup and pass pro and things like that. That'll be what dictates his ability to get on the field and stay on the field.
And I think, honestly, that's where sometimes I've got almost a knee-jerk skepticism when a guy has a really engaging personality publicly, because yeah, you've probably been burned a bunch of times in your life by either prospects or people in life in general that make an awesome first impression, and yet it doesn't bear that out. So one of the things about Dameon Pierce, I think, was that the fact that he seemingly actually really gives a damn about pass protection feels like a selfless guy.
Yeah.
Like, I've always looked at that, where, and especially in college, where maybe it's not focused on as much, that if a guy cares about it, you know, and all that depends on your individual coach. But sometimes guys' egos are so big that it doesn't matter if their coach is harping on it. It's one of the more selfless things that running backs have to do, and guys that actually care about it probably are pretty selfless players.
NFL.com had an article, Seth, day three rookies who could compete for starting snaps right away. Number two on the list, Dameon Pierce. Round four, 107th overall. Here's what it says. The Texans have a few veteran running backs on the roster, but Pierce could easily start eight or more games this year. Marlon Mack only has 32 carries for the past 2 years, and Rex Burkhead turns 32 this summer, so the former Gator could see a lot of opportunities. Houston fans will be won over by the electric confidence with the ball in his hands and his strong nose for the end zone. I was won over from day one with his message to Texan fans.
Yo, H-Town. Hey, it's your boy DP. Hey, he's the newest running back. We coming to H-Town. Hey, I'm here for a good time and a long time. You feel me? Hey, let's go, babe. I'm ready to work. Appreciate everybody. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Listen to that on a loop. I want to make that my
ringtone. Like, honestly, yeah, I know, like, Casario didn't want us comparing Dameon Pierce to Mark Ingram. It wasn't comparing the player to the player. It really was all about just the personality. And, like, that kind of life and energy does bring a lot to a practice, especially when it's hot out.
Dude, I was just going to say, man, I could use something like that standing out at practice. I can only imagine the players who are out there hitting at practice.
Dude, give me that all day long versus the guy who's like, hey, guys, come on. This is awesome. Let's do it. don't give me corny enthusiasm when it's hot out. I don't need to hear it. Give me somebody like Dameon Pierce. Make me feel like there's actually some joy to be had out of this situation.
Here was Nick Caserio. Seth mentions that he compared Dameon Pierce to Mark Ingram for Nick Caserio. Here was Caserio's response to Seth's comparison of the rookie running back to veteran Mark Ingram.
Yeah, I think every player has their own sort of personality dynamics. I would say, you know, Mark's been in the league for a long time, 10, 11 years, 12, whatever it's been. And I think he's one of the most respected players on the team. He's certainly one of the most respected players on our team last year when he was in the building. And that's earned over time. So I think, you know, fairly or unfairly, I think players get compared to other players, but I think it's kind of unfair to compare Dameon to a player like Mark and, you know, his status as a player. But I would say specific to Dameon, his overall personality, he's an outgoing kid. He plays a lot of energy, he plays a lot of joy, and he plays a lot of toughness. So Dameon Pierce is his own person. Mark Ingram is his own person. I think all these rookies, is important for them to just be their own person and be careful of making a comparison and thinking that's kind of apples to apples. So I know that's a natural reaction. That's what everybody wants to do, which is fine, but that's not really something we spend a lot of time on. We focus on the individual player. Who are they as a person? What's their makeup? And then how are they going to fit into our building with the rest of the group that we already have in place?
We don't spend a lot of time. That's good, Nick, because that's all we do on this show is spend time comparing all your rookies to guys they might play like in the NFL. Yeah.
You know what, though? It is that's one of those tricky things that personnel people have to worry about, is that you don't want to rely too heavily on player comparisons, because then you get inaccurate. You know, you start crisscrossing different attributes that one player might have that your player doesn't. So it's got to be difficult to do, but to kind of pound that out and not get all wrapped up in that.
Someone says on the text page, 713-269, remember some years ago the Texans brought in an undrafted receiver? He was outspoken, and like a couple practices later, he quit to go pursue his career in promoting. I just Googled it. His name was Dwight Jones. I remember this. This was in training camp in 2012. And he was from North Carolina. I Googled Texans rookie quits North Carolina.
Yeah.
This was the news blurb. Rookie free agent wide receiver Dwight Jones told the Texans he has no interest in playing football. The former North Carolina standout, who proclaimed he would be, quote, the next Andre Johnson shortly after signing with the Texans, was not at OTAs on Tuesday. Now we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of this, May 29th, 2012. The 10-year anniversary of Dwight Jones, the next Andre Johnson, quitting football.
It's hard to find information on Dwight Jones, the football player, because Dwight Jones, the much older murderer, has a whole lot of headlines about the six people that he killed in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
So, Dwight Jones, the American football, but he's currently a free agent, according to Wikipedia.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, he's not even a foot. They shouldn't be listening to him. This is the ultimate disrespect. He's a promoter, not a football player.
As far as we know,
He played for the Jets for two more years, and then he played for the Arizona Rattlers.
He did.
It was a short-lived retirement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got the thirst for maybe the promoting didn't go as well as he thought it would. I guess I better get back to doing this football thing.
Okay. And then he had animal accusations of animal cruelty in 2015.
Okay, well that's no way to make a career as a promoter right there, I would say.
No.
All right, so Seth, we had some questions that wound up on the cutting room floor for Nick Caserio. You had on here power rank the infractions in order of which ones would most damage a prospect's draft status. We didn't get to this with Nick.
It got complicated because, for one, I didn't think he would probably feel great about giving answers on this one. Maybe just for competitive reasons alone. And two was I came up with way too many categories.
Yeah.
So
some really good ones.
I'll go for an order from least destructive to a draft prospect chances to most destructive.
Okay.
I would say of all the infractions that might hurt a player, I've got seven or eight here. I'm going to say the least in this list is a recruiting violation, a la Reggie Bush.
Right.
I know there are always rumors that somehow it was Reggie Bush's recruiting violations that somehow the McNairs didn't like. I never bought that for a second. Maybe there was something to him not signing a contract or not being able to come to terms with a contract, whereas Mario Williams could. I'm not sure I'm buying that completely either. Like, it is possible that Charlie Casserly just knew that Mario Williams was the better. Anyway, so recruiting violation, that's the least one. I said this. I said a verified non-marijuana user who tested positive because he succumbed to peer pressure just once. It's a story nobody's going to believe, but in this hypothetical situation, the scouts believe him. So this is a guy, he had a positive test. And you know why this doesn't hurt his draft status, Sean?
Yeah.
Because teams start thinking of this guy as like, you know what? All these other teams are going to pass on him, but we're the smart ones that know that it's no big deal.
Yep.
That was the first time he'd ever even seen a gas mask, and he just wanted to try it on.
Distressed asset. Yes. Yes, I like it.
This is where, marijuana user who's never tested positive was another one. So if he's known, and I think this has changed over time, but it's still gonna hurt him, especially like if he's a fiend, you know, if he's just blazing 24/7, that's going to be concerned. They're going to be nervous about that. Above that, so we've got a couple here, one that's an illegal thing, but is still below tax evasion involving NIL.
Okay.
And this is a new one. We haven't seen this happen yet, but it will happen. As one of our accountant listeners pointed out earlier, it's not just the money that they're receiving. It's any products or services any little perks, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's some complex state tax laws come into play here. There's a lot of kind of complex tax code stuff that professional athletes have to deal with, but that college kids might not be set up to handle. So I don't think teams are going to be too upset about that, but they might get the impression that the guys that don't handle it are also not going to handle it well in the NFL.
So you think that's worse than being a marijuana user who's never tested positive?
Yeah, it's tax evasion. You can go to jail for one. You're just going to be an annoyance to a cop with the other.
No,
there's going to be some cop that's like, "Now I got to deal with this. I got actual stuff to worry about, man." Yeah,
I feel like that's something that if you're drafting a kid who did that, it was just an oversight. He just didn't have the right people around him.
Yeah. So maybe we'll rework that one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of doing this on the fly here, Sean. Now this would be one. A cocaine user, I think, is going to raise a whole lot of red flags.
Probably so. Yeah.
They're willing to forego a lot of the softer stuff. They find out that you're into the Bolivian marching powder,
mm-hmm.
then they're a little bit more nervous about that.
Yeah,
because that's not something that tends to improve with money.
Right.
Very few people out there are like, huh. I'm using a good amount of cocaine right now, but trust me, I'm going to stop when I start making way more money.
Right.
Okay?
I'll find other hobbies, like hang gliding, you know?
Yes.
Things that I can't afford right now, like yachting. That'll replace the coke.
Now, just above that, above cocaine user, non-drug user,
mm-hmm.
but he sells drugs.
Oh, Sam Hurd.
Yeah.
Sam Hurd. Yeah. Remember Sam Hurd? Sam Hurd, the wide receiver, former wide receiver for the Cowboys and the Bears.
Yeah.
Who I believe went to prison. He, while he was a player, had an entire like network, like a drug ring. He was a drug lord while playing wide receiver for the Chicago Bears.
Ooh, that's right. Oh, I remember forgot
him?
About that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot that it was, yeah, and it was while he was playing for the Bears. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
But now, do we know that he was doing it in college?
I have no idea. All I can remember from that was being, I marveled at the fact that this guy could run a successful drug ring while being an NFL football player. And I thought to myself, if this guy just took whatever mental and physical energy it took to run a drug ring, if he channeled that to good,
there's
it could be the long-lost Manning brother.
It happened with Hurd, and it happened with somebody else who, as an active player, and I think this is what Aaron Hernandez was thinking a little bit, except his brain was too modeled by his own personal drug use. Yeah. Never get high on your own supply, man. That's the first... First rule of the drug game,
that's
man.
Right.
I think that some guys like have this fantasy from too much movie watching that like that's what they. I'm going to use this this investment money I have to become a drug kingpin
mm-hmm.
and quintuple my money, quintuple it, or rather. And then this by far above and beyond all of those other things. Will get a prospect damned more so than a recruiting violation, more so than hardcore cocaine use or selling drugs, more so than an NIL tax evasion deal. If you are a quarterback who wasn't a captain, God rest your football
so true.
Soul. If you are a quarterback who wasn't a captain,
that is the best.
You are SOL.
Oh my God!
If you're a captain. But you're snorting coke off the head coach's wife's boobs on the weekends. It does not matter because you're a captain.
You can explain that away, but you can explain that away easier than explaining away not being a captain. Have you looked at her boobs? I mean, come on. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. Solid weekend for the Astros. Not so solid for me as someone who went to the game on Friday. But overall, a solid weekend for the squad. Updates on some of your injured Astros next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.